Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right.
Take a stand, draw your line in the sand. That will be the topic of today's program. As the Aaron Tippin song goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And boy, is our world falling for anything right now, or what? It is because we have forgotten what we stand for. As parents, do our children understand what we stand for, and even more importantly, why we stand for it? Are we consistent? Do we stand by what we believe to be true, no matter what? However, most importantly of all, before we can consistently stand by what we believe, no matter what, do we know why we believe what we believe? And do we teach our children consistently why we believe what we believe, no matter what? Or are we sending mixed and compromising messages? What do we base what we believe and stand for on? Traditions, which can change? The Constitution, which can and has been amended? Official Christian or Jewish doctrine as taught by church fathers or famous rabbis? If so, which ones? Nicene Council 1 or Nicene Council 2? Talmudic or pre-Talmudic? Or do we follow the newest understanding of the name pronunciation or newest understanding of the calendar or other so-called lost doctrine that was found in a buried fragment, even though it totally contradicts what has been preserved for us for millennia? How do we know what to base our beliefs on that we will stand for no matter what others, including other believers, will tell us? How do we know what is truth and what is twisted? The more spiritual among us might say, well, I listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, of course we must be filled with His Spirit in order to discern anything. That is first and foremost. But there are a lot of believers out there who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach love and forgiveness, yet don't agree with each other. There are a lot of mixed messages out there, especially now. So how do we know if we are following the true Ruach, or the true message of His set-apart Spirit? And even more importantly, how do we teach our children to love truth and discern messages and spirits and draw that line in the sand to say, this is truth, this is right, and I won't compromise no matter what? Our children are getting so many mixed messages, and I'm not talking about from society, school, and governments at large. I'm talking about from within the church, the body of believers, the body of Messiah, and yes, even especially those that call themselves a remnant of called out believers. How do they know what's true and right? What is worth standing for no matter what? All of these new calendars and pronunciations of His name are not uniting us, but only dividing us, and the consequences to our children, the first generation of those growing up in called-out families, may likely be devastating. Perhaps they started out with Easter and Christmas, but then we were called out, so we did Hanukkah and Passover on the Hillel calendar, then the sighted moon calendar, and we changed Jesus to Yeshua and Lord to Yahweh, but then a couple years later, we changed Yeshua to Yahusha, and Yahweh to Jehovah. But others that we fellowship with were convinced that the names were Yahuwah and Yahusha, and the Enochian, or perhaps the lunar Sabbath calendar, were more correct because of a fragment found in a cave, and so now we can't even fellowship with them anymore unless we do two or three sets of feasts. And these scenarios are so true that I'm sure every young person hearing this message can identify with it. That doesn't even take into account the more mainstream church at large that is even headed down the woke social justice and gender equality path that has infiltrated mainstream Christianity and public schools. I don't even have enough time in 10 programs to go into all of that. So what's a young person to do? They see their previous friends go by the wayside because of a different calendar, or see others in their fellowship get offended when someone says a name or a word that someone else thinks has pagan roots. I can understand a young person just throwing up their hands and saying, "Why bother? No one knows the truth, so let's just do what everyone else is doing. Let's just use this new calendar so that we can fellowship, or let's not even bother doing any feasts since no one agrees on when they are. No one agrees on which fragments have superiority, so let's just believe whatever is most convenient. We don't know for sure what to believe, so why waste our lives believing anything or even trying to honor God at all? Let's just live our lives doing what we want to do and not even try reading the Word of God, because everyone says it's been changed so much by man, we don't even know what's right anyway. Everything just keeps changing, and I can't keep up, so I give up." How do we teach our children to draw a line in the sand when our lines keep moving and changing? What are the foundational truths that cannot change? Where is our line? We need to answer these questions before we can teach our children how to be strong and not fall away into the pit of deception and apostasy that the Bible warned us would come before the man of lawlessness would be revealed. We don't want our families or ourselves, for that matter, to fall for the great deception that leads to eternal separation from light and the love of Yahweh in the lake of fire, do we? If not, then we'd better get things, doctrines, priorities, and our lines in the sand figured out pretty quick, and then teach our children accordingly. So where to start? How about let's start with the warned deception and apostasy? How do we know what that will look like? And are we seeing it? Many of you likely say, of course, we are seeing it. But then, when answering the question of what it is, there will likely be 100 different answers. There is so much apostasy or false doctrine out there right now, we could tape all religious teaching and doctrine on a wall and blindfold ourselves, throw a dart 100 times, and hit a false doctrine likely over 90 times out of 100. But if we would study this issue closer, we would see that all false doctrine has a common root or starting point, and we simply need to look at the word apostasy in the New Testament, and we will find that this word in Yeshua's wisdom ties both the Old and New Testaments together and points to the truth of where we should draw the line in the sand. Who has the authority to dictate correct doctrine and who does not? Where does truth come from, and who did Yahweh give authority to for laying out the rules, calendar, etc. to live by? And who was our ultimate example to emulate? This is the only way we can know which spirits are truth and which are deceiving spirits meant to lead men and their children astray and to take away faith and hope and lead to the ultimate falling away or apostasy that will have eternal consequences. So let's look at a very important warning and clue that will dispel a lot of false doctrine out there in the mainstream church that is obvious to many of us, such as the pre-trib rapture theory, but will also help us to understand and see not so obvious false authorities that can ultimately lead to the same place of falling away from the truth in order to believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Messiah is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he, as Elohim, sits in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. So we are warned that a falling away will come first before the man of lawlessness will be revealed. This man of lawlessness, we know, will lead many astray. He will use religious beliefs to lead even believers astray, as Yeshua himself warned in Matthew 24, verses 23-25. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Messiah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. What form will this deception take? And will it only take hold on the mainstream church? Or could it also take place in the congregations of the called out remnant who are always looking for new things, new name pronunciations, new calendars, fragments, rather than returning to the old paths? Jeremiah 6:16 warns us, Thus said Yahweh, Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for yourselves. But they said, We do not walk in it. I realize that the search for the old paths include looking at ancient fragments just unearthed. However, when going and looking at these relics, we also have to remember that Babylon and the Babylonian religion are also ancient old paths. Apostasy is of old, and so bringing forward and honoring old paths of apostasy is not what Jeremiah had in mind. So how do we tell the difference? Perhaps we can find the answer to the old path that we should follow in the New Testament. Let's back up and take another look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, let's look at the word behind falling away. The Greek word is apostasia. We don't want to fall away into apostasy. But what is apostasy? How can we recognize it? Are some of our called out remnant teachings of old paths and fragments possibly also apostate? The Greek word translated as falling away is apostasia, and it's G646 in the Strong's, and it means defection from truth. Okay, but then we have the same problem. What is truth? Aren't we all searching for truth? This form of the Greek word only appears one other time in the New Testament. This makes it very significant. We need to look at the other verse using this word in order to truly understand what Yahweh is trying to tell us here. The other place that this word is used is Acts 21:21. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Here Paul is being told by the believers in Yeshua that the Jews were being told that Paul was teaching to forsake Moses. And the word here that is translated as forsake, as in forsake Moses, that supposedly Paul was doing, this forsaking of Moses, the word forsake, is translated from the same exact word, G646, as apostasy. So apostasy is departing from the teachings of Moses, plain and simple. In order to recognize false or apostate teaching that causes a falling away so that the lawless one can be revealed and worshiped, we need to study and know and believe and draw our line in the sand on what Moses taught. Based upon the fact that this word for apostasy only appears in the New Testament two times, and one is talking about the great falling away so that the man of sin will be revealed, and the other is forsaking the Torah of Moses. These two words are the same words. So apostasy is forsaking the word of Moses. Yahweh has plainly told us this in the New Testament. Yeshua even told the Pharisees that if they truly believed Moses, they would have recognized and believed him because Moses taught of him. Yeshua is the word of Yahweh made flesh. He is the law lived out, and any understanding of Yeshua or scripture not in line with what Moses taught is apostate. This is the falling away. Yes, Yeshua is mercy and love, but Moses taught mercy and love. In that, when Yahweh wanted to destroy the stiff-necked and calf-worshipping children of Israel, Moses interceded and said, Blot me out of your book, don't destroy your people, and Yahweh, in mercy, relented. What Moses taught was full of mercy, but was also full of justice and righteousness, And all of the law and the prophets are summed up in the two commandments of love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself, which are both explained in the Ten Commandments given to Moses. The first five are how to love Yahweh, and the last five are how to love your neighbor. Love is not a touchy-feely subjective feeling. It is an action that is lived out according to what Yahweh says love looks like. He, through Moses, gave us plenty of examples of what justice and love look like. Anything or any message other than what Moses taught the children of Israel is apostate. He taught justice and mercy. Yes, an eye for an eye, but then also mercy for repentance. Those who worshipped the golden calf, but then stood in repentance with Moses, as an example, Aaron, were shown mercy, but those who remained defiant were destroyed. Mercy triumphed for the repentant, but justice reigned over the defiant. Moses also gave us Yahweh's calendar, and I don't see Moses speaking of a first day Sabbath, or a lunar Sabbath for that matter. No, it was a seventh day Sabbath, and authority was given to Moses over the calendar kept. Aaron and the priests kept the calendar given to Moses as instructed by Moses from Yahweh. Yeshua, a prophet like unto Moses, that came not only to die for our sins as the only begotten Son of Yahweh, also came to show us how to walk out and live the Torah that Moses was given. What feast days did Yeshua go to at the temple? And what Sabbaths did he observe? The ones that were administered at the temple by the priests as the official ones. Not once do we hear him disputing the calendar used, and he certainly disputed a lot of what they taught. But he left the authority over the calendar to the Jews in charge. He even allowed himself to be slaughtered as the Passover lamb on the Passover date recognized by the Jews in charge at the time. This authority over the calendar did not change after Yeshua was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of Yahweh. We still see Paul, Peter, and the other disciples at the temple and honoring the Sabbaths that the Jewish leaders honored. Nowhere do we see their authority in this area disputed in the New Testament. Then regarding his name, did Moses make a point of saying you must pronounce the name a certain way? No, when he asked Yahweh, who should I say sent me? Yahweh simply said, I am that I am. And in the third person, Yod, He, Vav, He, in Hebrew, however it is pronounced, simply declares he is in the third person. Moses was told by Yahweh, I am, and he told the people, he is. If we know what his name is declaring, then we know who he is. How we pronounce he is does not make a difference, in my opinion, right now, until Yeshua comes and corrects us all. Either a teaching or person is declaring who he is according to what he said, or they are not. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it, just do the best you can and don't argue about it or let it divide us. Same with Yeshua. We know from Scripture that Yeshua came in Yahweh's name, and he is Yahweh's salvation. If we know both of these truths are reflected in his name, it doesn't matter how we pronounce it. We just need to do the best that we can. One last point, or the icing on the cake, back to the Greek word apostasia in 2 Thessalonians verse 2. It again in the Strong's is G646, and it says that is the same as G647. So let's look at G647. That's apostasion, and it means something separative, divorce. Where do we see G647 used in the New Testament? Matthew 19:7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? Mark 10:4. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. Here, the divorcement word is from G647, apostasion. Also Matthew 5:31-32. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. What did Yahweh do to the northern kingdom and why? Jeremiah 3 verses 6 through 8. Yahweh said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She is gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, or repent. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Here in Jeremiah 3, verse 8, we see that the northern kingdom was given a bill of divorce. And the word here for divorce in the Hebrew, Strong's, is H3748. And it means a cutting of the matrimonial bond, divorce. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1. Thus saith Yahweh, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Again, same word for divorce here, which is H3748 from H3772. So let's look at H3772. It means to cut off, to destroy, or consume, to covenant. When were they, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, or we, when were we married? At Mount Sinai, when they accepted the rules of the marriage covenant as given by Yahweh through Moses. They, or we, committed a harlotry and merited divorce when they played the harlot by obeying gods and rules other than those given as part of the marriage covenant by Yahweh through Moses. That is why apostasy, or falling away, is the same New Testament Greek root word as divorce, because apostasy from what Moses taught is grounds for divorce. Obeying anything other than what Moses taught via the authority ordained by Yahweh is apostasy. We need to study this marriage contract that we agreed to abide by when we died to our apostate selves and were reborn as the virgin bride of Yeshua, when we said in essence, Yes, all that you command we will do, and we repent of our sins. Thank you for forgiving us and restoring us to a right relationship with you and for our eternal salvation. And in return, we will obey your rules, and also we accept all the blessings and provision that you promised to your bride, your people. We need to recognize the authority set up by Yahweh for his people, his children, his bride, all the same. If we want to be in his kingdom, then we need to recognize his authority and quit dividing over the calendar and pronunciations or other things that we're not told to divide over by Moses or by Yeshua. Whose authority did Yeshua recognize over the calendar? The Jews, even if they were apostate in many areas. He did not want his people dividing over calendars. Leaving Jewish authority over the calendar has certainly led the church into all kinds of paganism, has it not? On this side, the Hebrew root side, who did Yeshua give authority to start citing the moon or changing times and seasons that have been observed since the time of Yeshua in exchange for something from a fragment in the desert? No one. Until Yeshua comes back, shouldn't we be observing the calendar that has been passed down to us from the calendar that Yeshua himself was crucified according to? Some may say, well, that calendar was corrupted over the last 2,000 years, or I've even seen where some teachers are saying the Torah has been corrupted over the last 2,000 years, and Yeshua taught against some of the teachings contained in our version of Genesis or any of the books of Moses. What a dangerous path that is to go down. If we truly believe in the sovereignty and omniscience of Yahweh, our Creator, shouldn't we also believe He is able to preserve what He wanted preserved? What has been handed down to us has been preserved according to His might and power and authority. If we start picking it apart in favor of obscure fragments or discarded extra-biblical books, we can certainly be led astray into all kinds of apostasy. I don't believe for a minute he will hold us accountable for some lost archive hidden in the desert for supposedly thousands of years that was supposedly hidden from men so that men wouldn't corrupt it. And then you have to trust the guy who found it and says it takes precedence over what Yahweh himself has preserved out in the open for thousands of years. No, I believe we will be held accountable for what is opened to us and has remained open to us for thousands of years. What he has preserved for us, especially as we are able to study it according to the original languages as much as we can. Then using the discernment of his spirit, interpreting it as one message from our Creator and not as fragments that don't support one another. The New Testament needs to be understood in context of the Old Testament and the Old Testament in context to the way Yeshua lived it out in the New Testament. His word, as given through Moses and preserved for millennia, is where we need to draw our line in the sand. It is what we need to stand for and teach our children not to waver from. What he said and the marriage covenant he created is what matters. Yeshua, his salvation, is who died to restore this covenant. His covenant with his people and ultimately all of mankind who will declare, "Yes, you are our Creator, and what you say, we will do." This is how we love Yahweh and love our neighbor. Those are the rules for his eternal kingdom and his eternal people. This is what should unite us, and let nothing or no one divide us any longer. Let us teach our children there are absolutes that we must stand for in Yahweh's word. We either stand for his word as given by Yahweh through Moses and lived out by Yeshua, or we will fall for anything. Our eternities and the eternity of our children depends on it.
I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.